For our message this evening, I'd like to have you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And often in a message, we'll maybe take a verse or something and you'll make a text out of that. What I'd like to do this evening, and I think it's fair, is to just pick out a phrase out of a verse and develop a message around that this evening. Because this is a phrase that has been going through my mind. And I think it is something that that we need to look at. Colossians 3, verse 4. I'd like to take this phrase out. Christ, who is our life. Christ, who is our life. Is Jesus this evening really my life? Is He your life? Is He our all in all? You know, I appreciated what Brother TJ shared in relation to understanding God and His Word, and some of the things that he said there this evening would go along very well with this. It's the condition of our heart, the condition of our response, how close that we identify with God as to how God can show His will to us. This message this evening, I think, is probably pretty well directed to Jason Schrock, and if I'd like for the rest of you to listen. But what I'm saying is, I feel very much the need of this myself. And so I'd like to just share some things that have come to my mind. This past week, at the business there, we've been interviewing some prospective employees for the new coating plant that we're putting in place there. So there's been different ones that have come to talk and see if they might be able to fit into that employment. The other day, there was a fellow there that had farmed for a number of years, and in his farming he had some financial struggles, and finally he had to give it up and sell out. And then he worked for another farmer for several years, and as we were talking there the other day, he just said, you know, he related how that a number of years back he had built a warehouse and how he had put equipment in there and so on, and then kind of how he's happy to give that up a little bit. And then he was saying how that this last harvest time, he said, I worked from 6 o'clock in the morning till midnight every day, 7 days a week for about 5 weeks straight. And then this is what he said. He said, this is my life. This is my life. All right? If someone would ask you this evening, what is your life? What is it that you're wrapped up in? Or what has you wrapped up? What is your life? You know, what would your answer be? What do you live for? What are your goals? What are your aspirations? What are you interested in? The Apostle Paul here to the Colossians said, Christ, who is our life. What a profound statement. He identifies who our life and what our life should be. You know, I've had to ask myself a number of questions in relation to this phrase. And you know, I've discovered that I feel that I fall far short of Christ really, truly being my whole life. You see, I'd like to retain a little bit of control of what goes on in my life. I want to say a little bit how things should go. But you know, is Jesus satisfied with that? I don't think that He is satisfied unless He is our all in all. And, you know, I think maybe too often I've looked at Jesus as a person I want to please. He's one I admire. He's one I would like to copy. He's one that has the answer to all my problems. Isn't that right? I mean, that's what we say from time to time. But is this enough? Is Jesus just our spiritual advisor to tell us how we should live? Is he an ideal that we look up to? In a sense, that's true. We are to become more conformed to his image. But how actively involved is Jesus in my life and in yours? He is my life. You know, I can't move without him. I'm dead without him. If it was not for Jesus, I would be dead. And so he is my life. He's the one that gives life to me. Now let's read the first four verses here in Colossians 3. Get a little bit of the setting here. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And so, this passage here says that if we are risen with Christ, and I would understand that to mean that when Christ rose from the dead, he had life. He was changed from death to life. His physical body changed from death to life. And so in a spiritual sense this evening, we are to be risen with Christ. And so it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, then what do we seek? We seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then it says, to set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Why? For ye are dead. You're dead. Okay, what's dead? Well, we need to be dead to self. We need to be dead to sin. We need to be dead to personal ambition and seeking for praise for ourselves. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have some goals in life and to work toward those goals. But what I'm saying is that this needs to be within the framework of the life of Jesus Christ. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then verse 4 says, when Christ, who is my life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And so we are dead, but there is life. And that life is hidden in Christ. In other words, it is not something of myself. It's something that Jesus gives to us. Now, Jesus came to give life. In John 10, verse 10, it says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus came, is to give life. To give us that spiritual breath. That we might be able to breathe in a spiritual way. But you know, Jesus is not satisfied that we just live. He wants that life to be abundant. That they might have it more abundantly. And so again I ask, how is it in your life? Is he your life? Does your life revolve around him? Is your whole life wrapped up in him as a person? And the decisions that I make and that you make, is it in accordance with his will or in accordance with my will? You know, is our life based on trying to please him? Or is it because we make the right choices because he is our life, because he gives direction? He's just a part of us. Do you try to copy his life as a person? Or do you live in his likeness because he is your life? You know, there's certain aspects of the Christian life which are all scriptural, and we emphasize them, and I think rightly so. You know, we talk about being a follower of Jesus, and that's true. We're his disciple, and we need to follow where he leads. We talk about sitting at his feet and learning from him, learning from the teachings of Jesus. We talk about being conformed to his will, that we try to mold and shape our lives in conformance to his will. We talk about being in fellowship with Jesus. And you know, all of these things are very true. But you know, maybe we don't emphasize enough that he is our life. That's where we get our life. It's more than just being a follower of Jesus and more than sitting at his feet. It's a total involvement. It encompasses our whole life. As I was thinking on this here in preparation for this message, I got to thinking back to, you know, some times in my life, in my some former years. I remember some of the questionings that I had concerning some of the what I would call some of the deep valleys that I was going through. You know, and I would wonder some of the whys and the wherefores and the hows and, you know, where do we go from here? And you know, I tried to make sense out of my life. And I tried to figure out, and probably rightly so, what the Lord was trying to teach me. And I had to wonder, and I guess I still wonder sometimes, you know, what is God's master plan for my life? And, you know, I thought that I need to know the reason. I need to have an explanation about all this. But, you know, I remember finally coming to the realization that we don't get all the answers to life's perplexities in this life. That's not the way it works. And that I need to rest in his providence. I need to identify with him. I need to allow him to work his will in my life. There is nothing else. There is no one else. But he is my all in all. Now, I'm not the only one that has faced difficulties in my life. I'm sure we all have. You know, probably every one of you, there's times you just simply don't know which way to turn. I mean, after all, where do I go from here? Because there's this difficulty or that problem and something that you're in the middle of. But you know, when we are at our end, then that's when Jesus wants us to come to grips with the fact of him being our life. So if Christ is my life, that's going to affect the way I think. It's going to affect the decisions that I make in life. It's going to affect with whom I associate and what I do and where I go. And yes, even how I dress. You know, all these things, the total encompassing part of life. If Christ is truly my life, then all these things need to come under that umbrella. And so the importance of business success and financial securities will really fade because he is my life. And maybe, you know, on the sister side, the importance of the house being just so, you know, and spick and span, and that's nice to have it that way, and decorated just so-so. Some of those things become insignificant because He's my life. That's where my focus is. And young people, I have to think about young people here, just how I look and to make sure that I'm attractive to others, and the last hair is in place, if you please, and so on. And you know those smart little gadgets that maybe we put in our cars, and how well I can perform athletically, and we could go on and on. But really, those things are counted as nothing if Christ is our life. I know some of those things that are, they're not wrong in themselves. But where's our focus? What's important to us? If Christ is your life, you will not really be worried so much about reputation and popularity. But you will be more concerned about what people think of Jesus than what they think of you. And maybe that's a little bit hard to grasp. If Christ is your life, there will be no doubt in the mind of other people who is first in your life. There will be no hesitancy to stand up and be counted for Him. If Christ is my life, will I become upset and discouraged when others criticize me? It should only be to the extent that criticism damages the reputation of my Lord. And that kind of brings us into this, and I guess I thought about this quite a bit. But the challenge then is to be in Christ to the extent that if someone speaks against me, in effect they're speaking against Christ. Now, we can take that too far. We can say, if you have a problem with me, then you have a problem with Christ. No, because we're not infallible. And we do need corrections, as we're all aware. Like Brother Myron said this morning, sometimes we need someone to tap us on the shoulder, and that's certainly true. But really, if we are in Christ, if someone speaks against the life that we're living, it should be speaking against Christ. Now, who is this Christ that we've been talking about? And why should He be my life? Well, let's go back to the first chapter of Colossians. And I'd like to look at several verses beginning at verse 15. And we find here, there's a passage here from verses 15 to 23 that I believe that a lot of our Bibles would say that, this describes the preeminence of Christ. That He is above all. And verse 15 says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?" And then it goes on and says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." And so this individual, or this God that we're talking about, this one that we are to be in Him, He's the one that created us. He's the one that made us. And we go on to verse 17, and it says, "And by Him all things consist." Now, I looked at that word "consist" a little bit. The thought of that word is stand up. In other words, everything is in order. Everything stays as it is in this universe because of the keeping power of the one that created it. And so this, He is a powerful God. Verse 18 says that He is the head of the church. And it also says that He was the first to rise from the dead. And then verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And so we find that he made peace. And we go to verse 21, and he reconciled wicked man to God, and so on. So Jesus has the preeminence. He is lifted up high above any other creature. Many times in the book of Colossians, I found the book of Colossians interesting here. But many times in the book of Colossians, it speaks of in him, in whom. In chapter 2, verse 6, we have the words in him. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And so we are to walk in him. He is our life. How are we in him? We're to walk in him. And so that means that we walk together. We walk in tandem. Verses 9 and 10 in chapter 2. It says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And so we had been lacking, a great lack. And there was something missing. But it says, now that which is missing is supplied because we are complete in him because of the life of the Spirit of God, because the life of the Spirit of God dwells in us. And then going over to chapter 3, verse 11, it says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. And so can we get that picture this evening that Jesus is all? You know, sometimes we sing that song, Jesus is all the world to me. And that's where it needs to be. Now, Jesus is the author of life, both physical and spiritual. We've already looked a little bit at the physical aspect there, where it says that he created all things, but he is also author of spiritual life, and that's why our life needs to be in him. In John 6, verse 33, it says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And so Jesus came down from heaven, and he gave life unto the world. Maybe I won't turn to that, but in Romans 5, it talks about the resurrection of Jesus and that we are saved by the same power that raised Christ from the dead. The power of an endless life. And, you know, Jesus of his own power came back to life. And so then he came to give us eternal life. We find that there in Romans 5. In 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12, it says, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the life, or he that hath the Son, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God, hath not life. And so it's very simple. If we have the Son of God, we have life. If we don't have the Son of God, we don't have life. And so that brings us then back to our text phrase, or text verse, actually, where it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And so when Christ, who is our life, if we have the Son, we have life. If we have not the Son, we do not have life. So how do you look at Jesus? He's a historical figure. That's true. Is he just a historical figure to be admired, or is he a living reality? He is the one that gives life. And you know, he's not satisfied with a mediocre life. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And as I said at the beginning, you know, I just feel that so often I fall too short of that. You know, I want to plan and I want to scheme and I worry. Lest my desires elude me. But is that really the way it ought to be? If Christ is my life, my whole life is wrapped up in Him, then I need to rest in the fact of Christ being my life. And so let's determine again this evening that He is our all in all, and that nothing will take away from that life that we have in Christ Jesus. We'll call for closing numbers and songs.